Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to get right to what's taking place in Israel. If you think about when strategy is being unfolded, good or bad, it takes a long time to be able to unfold that kind of strategy. Well, bad strategy has been unfolding for the last, almost 8 years now, at least seven, in regards to Israel. And when you think about what was just voted on, the Supreme Court just ruled against the Born in Jerusalem bill that said basically that you can be, if you're born as an American in Jerusalem, you're born in Israel. This is what this means. Matter of fact, let's take a look at this now. Take a look.
The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a law that would have allowed Americans born in Jerusalem to list Israel as their country of birth on their passports. In a 6-3 ruling Monday, the court said Congress overstepped its bounds when it approved the passport law back in 2002. The ruling ends a 12-year lawsuit by a Jerusalem-born American and his U.S. parents. Under the law, the State Department would have been forced to alter its longstanding policy of not listing Israel as the birthplace for Jerusalem-born Americans. U.S. policy says the city's status should be resolved between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
This is so important because it ties to what we talked about when the Democratic National Convention took place and they pulled Jerusalem out of the platform. And basically, this is our vision for where we're going as a party. This is where we're going to take the country. And one of the things that they wanted to take the country in was to remove Jerusalem as the acknowledged capital of Israel. And it looks like a Baptist or a pastor, a Methodist pastor, former governor of a particular state, that he realized that and he came back and he said, listen, I want to make a motion to be able to put that back in again because we as a people in America, we support Israel. We believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which means when people are born there in Jerusalem, they're born in Israel. Well, take a look right here. This is the Democratic National Convention. This is them putting it back in the platform again. So remember, they took it out. They took Jerusalem out as a platform. And notice that they did it, the particular mayor from L.A., who was the chairman, he did it against the will of the people. The people were saying, no, we do not want it. Boo. And they did not vote for it because you have a thing called Robert's Rules of Order. So they had to take a vote. And ever how it goes, this is supposed to be what they're doing. And a lady walks up and she says, listen, you're going to have to rule the meeting and give them what they want. As a matter of fact, take a look. This makes sense when you see this ruling from the Supreme Court.
The chair recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment to the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
I guess.
And then you got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, 2/3 have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee. Now, everyone.
It's important as strategies unfold, when plans and fundamental transformations take place, it happens over a period of time. You know, no matter what, that because you've been given authority, because man's been given authority, enemy has to get your buy-in. You have to go, hey, I'm going to vote myself out. I'm going to vote. And the vote was, no matter what the L.A. mayor pushed through, the vote was very specifically, we vote Israel, Jerusalem, not the capital of Israel. It was already removed out. Somebody came back and said, hey, we want to put it back in. As a matter of fact, I want you to see right here, this is the amendment. I want to read it to you because it was real quick when they showed it right there, if y'all can show that. But the amendment said, do you have it up right there? There we go. This is what they were putting back up. It was page 63 of line 26 of the DNC platform. Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel. The parties have agreed that Jerusalem is a matter for final status negotiations. It should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths. I mean, think about that. I mean, you think about it. And so they didn't vote for it. They just shoved it through. They realized we got caught, obviously, it appears, and they just pushed it through. But what just happened in the Supreme Court lines up exactly what they asked for, what they asked for at the Democratic National Convention. And guess what? That's what America voted for. Washington's not our issue. America voted for someone and something and an idea and a concept that said, we don't want to acknowledge Israel's capital as Jerusalem. And when you think about Abraham and way back in the beginning of all times, when he actually gave an offering to the king of Salem, Jerusalem. I mean, this is, that's God's land. That's God's property. And all of the nations are going to be judged in the end day in the Valley of Jehoshaphat based on what they did to this land. When you see people strategizing against Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem, that is not a good thing. But when we get back from this break, I want you to be able to see, we're going to focus on, you know, how God is blessing Israel, because he said, you know, I will bless you, Israel. I will bless you to be a blessing to the nations. And we're going to be talking about how medically they have blessed with so many different ways, with health and all these wonderful things that are coming out of Israel. Why? Because God blesses Israel, and they are a blessing to the nations. And he blesses those who bless Israel.
Yes, it's amazing what you're seeing, you know, come against Israel,
yes.
Right, John? It's
the same strategies from the same tired playbook. But, you know, the end of the story is Israel, God wins. You cannot poke your finger in the apple of God's eye, and it go well with you. It's not going to work out.
You might end up in a bunker somewhere swallowing a cyanide pill like the last particular one of the leaders that did that. His name was Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler. And people that just bought into what he was saying. This is why people bought in, you know, based on history, reading history, they bought in to what where he was going. And even though some of them, they said that he's insane, but he was giving them what they wanted. And Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, it says it very specifically, like rule number 7, if you just give them what they want, and you got to keep them happy. And right now you're wondering, because I'm watching, you know, Denver and the Mile High City, and they just have, you know, the whole commercial industry now of growing marijuana. And they're, you know, $300 million in taxes came in the first year of doing it.
Wow.
They had a young man that jumped off a balcony because he ate a cookie that had like marijuana in it or something of that nature. And they reported, they said, this has happened. And you're thinking, why would anybody do this and the other things that are going on? Because you, according to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which our president and Hillary Clinton were both trained by Saul Alinsky mm-hmm. himself, and the book is dedicated, by the way, it's dedicated to the first one to use these tactics, Lucifer, the book is. But in that, it says it's written in the 60s, like 60-something or whatever. And he said, from jail, he's writing it, that things get drag. Things get, which means they get really tough and they get hard and it's hard to keep people focused. So you got to keep giving them things. If you keep giving them things, they'll stay militant, they'll stay focused. And so you think, well, where's all these stimulus and healthcare and drugs and marriage and just you name it? It's, I mean, anything that goes. I mean, they have like, I just can't even name them all. But what's going on is it takes, they got to keep giving people that so they'll buy in to the ultimate. And it has nothing to do with what's being given. It has nothing to do with what's being said. Marshall Gantz, who is known for using these techniques, organizing, said on Bill Moyer's show, we have it for you. He said specifically that community organizers have to be schizoid, because once people lock into one viewpoint, you got to switch to another one because it has nothing to do with that. And so if you're focusing on all these distractions instead of focusing on the fact of, you know, I can't believe that the Supreme Court, you know, ruled that if you're born in Jerusalem, instead of saying they're coming against Israel.
That's right.
This is not going to be good. When your nation comes against Israel and one man says, I don't have his name for you right now, but we could find it. He said, when God wants to discipline a nation, he turns it against Israel. So it's not the 530 folks in D.C.'s issue. There's 300 and some odd million of us.
That's right.
And there's a church in America. And God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven. And America will stand. And I believe a third great awakening is coming. And that's why we're showing you, about to show you right now. God said, I will bless Israel. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And they are blessing the nations. We talked about agriculture already, how they are blessing the world with just so many different ways. In all the countries in the Middle East, mm-hmm. they're blessing a lot of those countries
teaching
as well.
Teaching them, showing them.
Teaching them, showing them. And they just have, this is beautiful what the Lord's done through Israel. And secondly, we talked about, you know, water, how they are created crops that can grow from salt water, that their goal is 50% of the water coming through. It takes 90 seconds, I believe, or 90 minutes for water to go from salt water to drinkable water. They created that, and they're just giving it away. They said, how can we keep this?
Yeah.
You know, God said, I will bless Israel, and you will be a blessing to the nations. That's what he said. And so think about it. Right now we know, if we buy into this darkness of people who are leading by the same spirit that whatever had a hold of Adolf, you know, and thinking that you need to come against the Jews and Christians, you know, that's where it ends. You're going to be cut off. It isn't interesting. Every one of Satan's little small kingdoms has to do with oppressed, poverty, darkness, a tyrannical type rule, Marxism, socialism, communism, and now we are on this side of the equation. We can say, you know what? I'm not gonna surrender my authority. I'm not gonna let them get my buy-in. I'm gonna stand up as a believer. I'm gonna stand with Israel. And when you stand with VFN TV, I'm telling you, we stand up for God and country in that order, and we stand up for Israel every single program, 5 days a week, all over the world, all on the Gulf Coast, on radio, on television. Why? Because we can't be silent and not be judged before God. And I want you to look at this. This is what Israel has done, how God has blessed Israel to be a blessing in our medical needs. Yeah, it's just amazing what they're doing. So when you hear all those news reports and these negative things and saying we need to divest from Israel, remember what we're about to show you on what they've done to the medical. Take a look.
On January 8th, 2011, a gunman opened fire in Tucson, Arizona. His target was Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the head at point-blank range. To stop the bleeding, EMTs used a special bandage that puts pressure on wounds and prevents infection. first responders said the bandage saved Gifford's life. And it's one of many medical breakthroughs that got its start in Israel.
Israel has one of the highest life expectancies in the world. Actually, our life expectancy here is about 4 years longer than the U.S. So if anyone wants to come move to Israel, on average, you're going to add 4 years to your life.
From fighting cancer, to giving sight to the blind, to making the lame walk again, Israel is leading the world in medical innovation.
Every day, millions of Americans use some kind of medical treatment that came from Israel. From Sambucol, a cold and flu medicine made from elderberries, to amniocentesis, used to detect prenatal abnormalities. There's a wireless laser that will someday replace the dentist drill. And the pill cam, a tiny camera and a capsule. It takes pictures from inside your colon, eliminating the need for a colonoscopy.
Millions and millions and millions of these procedures are done every year. What if you could make them painless, pain-free, and non-invasive, and take a lot of the risk out of that procedure? That's a classic Israeli solution to a problem.
In the field of medicine, finding a cure for cancer is one of the biggest goals. And although a full cure is still in the future, Israeli scientists are making huge advances.
The news is full of stories about dogs who can smell everything from epilepsy to cancer in their owners. So one scientist took that idea and refined it.
If the dogs can smell cancer, we for sure can do it in a little bit more sophisticated way. We can communicate with the device much better than we can communicate with the dog.
Hossam Haidt developed an early warning system for cancer. The nano artificial nose can detect tumors before they're even visible on x-rays, just by analyzing a patient's breath.
The device can give the results within 5 minutes to 1 hour, more or less. Many diagnostic tools require to swallow a radioactive or active material in order to make the diagnosis possible. We don't expose it to any risky x-rays or beams that might make cancer by themselves.
The artificial nose is still in clinical trials, where the accuracy rates range from 86 to 97%. And it's also being customized to sniff out other diseases as well, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis.
Our ultimate vision is to bring this device in an inexpensive and very portable way to everybody, whether these people live in the Western countries or they live in the third world, because we believe that we have to fulfill a little bit democracy.
Other Israeli scientists are focusing on the treatment of cancer, and they're doing everything from burning tumors with thermal heat to freezing them with liquid nitrogen. One doctor is even developing a vaccine for cancer. The Immucin vaccine trains the body's immune cells to attack a specific molecule found only in cancer. And since only the cancer cells are targeted, the vaccine has no side effects like chemo and radiation. With one shot every few months, the body's immune system will keep it under control.
We're just educating the immune system to do what it, you know, would try to do itself. We're not inventing anything.
In the first clinical trial, the vaccine successfully triggered the immune system in all 15 patients.
You will see in the future, I think we enter a field which is very attractive, and we just scratched the beginning of it. I think we have a lot of more things to come, and I'm very encouraged by what I've seen.
In 1829, the introduction of Braille revolutionized the way blind people read and write. Today, Israeli inventors are taking that revolution a step further. For people with limited sight, there's a new device called the OrCam. It's a pocket-sized computer linked to a small camera that clips onto your glasses. The camera sees what you see. And when you point your finger at something, the OrCam will read it for you. Everything from menus to street signs. And for those with total vision loss, there's Project Red, the first ever smartphone for the blind. With the tap of a finger, users can make phone calls, send texts, and even surf the web. While these inventions are giving blind people more independence, another one is actually restoring their sight. A company called NanoRetina is focusing on people who have lost their sight from macular degeneration. They've created the Bionic Eye, an implant that provides users with grayscale vision, a big improvement over total blindness.
Necessity is mother of all inventions. And Israelis sometimes tend to think outside of the box. And if there is an obstacle, we do not hit our forehead at the obstacle, but we go around it. We found a solution.
One of those solutions is giving new life to people who were told they would never walk again.
I couldn't understand why wheelchairs are the only solution to, for a paralyzed person.
In 1997, a meat gopher was paralyzed in a car accident. And since then, he's been on a mission to put the wheelchair out of business. So he designed something called the ReWalk, a brace that uses motors to help paraplegics walk and even drive a car. Ironically, Gopher couldn't use his own invention, since he's a quadriplegic and the device requires the use of the arms. But he soon found a veteran who was more than willing to try it.
When the doctor told me that I'm lucky to be alive, but my injury would leave me paralyzed, everything became dark.
Radi Kayof is a former Israeli paratrooper who was injured in South Lebanon.
In one of the rehabilitation centers in central Israel, I met Amit Gofer. He told me that he had developed a device that helps paraplegic in my condition to walk. I didn't believe I'd be able to stand up. After I tried it and the device made me stand up, I was amazed. My daughter was 3 years old back then. She looked at me and said, "Dad, you are tall." That made my day.
The bottom line is seeing the families. It is very exciting. If they see their beloved one stand, then you want to cry. This is the first time I was really excited.
Radi started using the ReWalk 6 years ago. And since then, the device has gone global. In 2012, a young woman named Claire Lomas used the ReWalk in the London Marathon. She walked the 26 miles in 17 days, earning her the nickname Bionic Woman.
It's a moment I'm going to treasure for the rest of my life.
I dance 4 times a week, and I love it very much. And I knew that I'm not going to stop just because I am diabetic.
Shai Barshira is a dancer, a student, and a type 1 diabetic. She is also a pioneer. Shai was one of the first people to try a new Israeli medical device, the artificial pancreas. It's still in the experimental stage, and right now it's just a laptop with a series of sensors that monitor the patient's blood sugar. Eventually, the laptop will be replaced by a microchip and an insulin pump. Dr. Moshe Philip is one of the developers.
I promised my patient many times that one day they will get rid of their diabetes. So, despite the fact that we are not able to cure diabetes yet, we would like to enable our patient to live their life without thinking of their diabetes all the time. You have to understand, type 1 diabetes, especially during childhood, is something that keeps you busy the entire day. It's there all the time.
Dr. Philip oversaw clinical trials for children in Israel, Slovenia, and Germany. But Shai was the first one to use the device at home without medical supervision.
Each time that my levels drop, it gives me a very, very strong alarm that tells me that I have to eat right away. And if my levels go very high, it fixes my level. It calculates itself how much insulin I should take, and it gives an automatic order to my pump to give me that insulin. And I'm all balanced, even more balanced than I was when I went to sleep. And that's amazing.
I think we are going to change the life of our patients. And this is the entire idea, to bring back the spontaneity to the life of our patient, to free them from being busy with thinking about how to control their blood glucose level all the time, and especially during the night.
I feel there is so much effort made to help the diabetics feel like, you know what, you have this disease, but don't worry. We're trying to cure it. We're trying to make the treatment better, more comfortable, and we'll get there. Feeling that I help other people too, it gives me the strength to keep on. If I am a part of something big, I feel that I'm not alone in this business, and it gives me a lot of hope.
You just think about it. Why would anybody want to not stand with Israel?
Right.
This is who don't want to stand with Israel. Satan doesn't want to stand with Israel. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Why would you hate Israel? You want to hate Israel. God is blessing Israel, showing himself mighty through Israel, and they're helping us in so many medical ways. I mean, even our congressperson that was shot.
Gabby Gifford.
It was Israel's inventions and all these. It's amazing what's happening. Stand with Israel. Support Israel. Supporting VFN TV, I'm telling you, we're going to stand with you. We're going to stand together, and God's going to save Israel. The question is, whose side you're going to be on during that storm? It makes a huge difference. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so important because with Israel is to get a true perspective of Israel, because the enemy and those that are captive by him, this is what Paul said. He says, gently instruct those who are held captive by Satan to do his will. Gently instruct them in hopes that God would grant them repentance. So it's not about, you know, hating someone. It's about, mm-hmm. listen, this is going the wrong direction.
That's right.
Right? And we need to say something. And remember, as Christians, right, John, we live for eternity.
Yes, so not for this brief moment here.
There is a CPA in heaven, right? He's going to balance our books at the cross. And if we try to do it ourselves, we try to do these different things and whatever, you know, just deception was what caused someone to just come against God's people.
Yeah.
You know, if God's called you to, you think God's called you to do a coup against your pastor, that is not true.
That ain't
and
God.
I've seen a couple of coups like that, yeah. You know, or coups against Israel or God's folks. It's just not true. And so it's important. You're looking at just a parallel of what happened in Germany right before World War II. And you can't help but feel, you know, no matter what people wanted, you know, World War II was on the way. And, but with that, you know, God, what was meant for evil, God turned it around for good. In 1948, President Harry Truman mm-hmm. signed the papers, you know, saying that Israel's a nation and the weight of America is going to be behind this decision. And right now you're seeing the weight of America, at least our leaders, trying to pull the weight of America out. There's a book that I believe it's called Understanding or Knowing the Devil That You're With or something like that, you know, the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like somebody potentially in their own minds or in their logic is saying, we've tried every other way to have peace with the devil. Let's try this other way. And the other way has to do with polarizing, targeting, humiliating Israel.
Ridiculing.
And ridiculing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That is not a good strategy. I mean, just look at history. It's not good. It's not a good strategy. Even though you may seem to be going well for a season, in the long run, it's just horrific. It's just horrific what happens to anybody who does that. God's going to take care of Israel. There's a coming land grab that, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence talked about. And we are right at that moment in time. It looks like when, you know, the only ones that Israel is going to have to cry out for, because all nations just this week, you know, Pat Robinson said, you know, every nation is going to turn against Israel. And he's talking biblically, but we're seeing it take place. And who they're going to cry out to, they're going to cry out to God. Now, listen, if your nation turns against Israel, you don't turn against Israel. You know, no matter what countries do and other people do, you can stand as a righteous one before God and say, you know, I will stand with Israel. I will stand with God. I'll stand with Jesus Christ. And understand, too, simultaneously, the greatest move of God, I believe, is coming. A third great awakening is coming. And part of that, you're going to see this release of the fullness of who we are. When we get back to the Father's business and we get back to what he's called us to do, we remember what the finish line is and begin to talk about what God has done, testimony. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.